And welcome to Unplug. I am so excited for this special live coaching call with Matthew Reyes. Matthew is someone who taught me how to do yoga, and not only do yoga, but actually fall in love with the practice. He's someone who just shows up with a smile on his face, inspires people. It doesn't matter if they're celebrities or moms or whoever they are, everyone kind of feels like they're part of a community and in his light when we're in his presence. So today we're going to be talking about how to override your mood. And that's a very key thing because a lot of people know that they want to do yoga. They know that yoga is good for them. They don't know the scientific benefits of yoga, but you'll learn that today. And the key is to show up even when you don't want to show up. So Matthew's going to be sharing some tips on that today. And first of all, we're really excited. Jelena, can I see your face on here? Because I'm not seeing. Hello. I want to introduce everybody to Jelena Wallace. Jelena is responsible for all things Unplug app. And you know, when you are emailing support at Unplug, it's Jelena, it's Claude. We're taking care of anything that you need. Jelena, I just want to make sure that I can see the messages so that I can actually see what people are asking, or I don't really see where I can see their messages on there. Okay, good. I got it. So all of you, we really invite you to be interactive. If you want to show your faces, we really love to see you because that makes it really fun for us. This is a community building event. And I would like to introduce you to the fabulous Matthew Reyes. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Susie. It's great to be with you and with the community and to be sharing health and wellness and positivity and all those things that all of us in this community kind of believe in and want to uplift and just grow together in our hearts and in our communities and in our families. It's beautiful to be in this community.
Amazing. And we have a lot of people who already know you because they've done the 7-day yoga challenge with Matthew Reyes on the Unplug app. I don't know if you've experienced it. If so, please let us know in the chat. We'd love to know if you've ever practiced with him. If not, it's actually on the home screen today, so you'll be able to get excited to do it. And I'm hoping that right after this call, you're going to run out and you're going to actually want to do yoga. So without further ado, Matthew, I would love to kind of share, if you could share, one, your story of how you got into this in the first place, two, how to kind of inspire people to practice even when they don't want to practice, and why yoga is so important for both your brain and your body.
Those are three fantastic life-transforming questions. I'll start with that first one. I was like a lot of us in the spiritual community. I knew I had a good heart, but I was also really shy about being a leader. So I was always the one in school that was in the back of the room, never raised my hand, but I knew I was kind to everyone on the schoolyard. And I kind of found that similarity between all of us in the spiritual community, that we all have really great hearts. And so for me, I knew I had a good heart, but I was at age 26, 27, I felt really lost. I knew where I was coming from was from a good place, but I didn't want to, like my classmates, get into like the finance field or something that was just concerned with money and materialistic ends. I knew that I wanted to do something with my heart. And that's when I started getting into reading books like Chicken Soup for the Soul and The Alchemist, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. You know, all those books really spoke to me. And what I love about the spiritual community is I'm sure you have at least one of those on your bookshelf as well as many others. So I knew I had a good heart. I felt kind of lost in the world, like what to do with this great heart that just wants to give and share and do goodness. Like, what kind of career is that? It wasn't business. It wasn't math. And I couldn't figure it out. So for me, I took at age 27 a step in the direction of, well, I'm just going to follow my heart and follow kind of what these soulful spiritual books are bringing into my life and people's lives. And I'm going to see if I can take that path less traveled and take a spiritual journey with my life and see where it goes, see where it ends up. And and just the shy side of me, when I found like a teacher, a yoga teacher and like a soulful, like guru mentor, one of my first kind of homework assignments that she gave to me years ago was, she said, Matthew, you're here to serve people. You're super shy. And I get that, but let's start I want you to go get a job as a waiter because it'll teach you how to serve people, bring nourishment to people, and you'll see that your presence in their life can make their experience happier. And I know that was at age 27, like my first spiritual homework assignment was to get out of my shyness was to be a waiter. And like that was step one of multiple steps in how to bring my heart into a business and into a career of helping people. And so at age 27, that's really when it started, when I took that waiter job and decided to go all in on seeing if I could have a spiritual pursuit as a legitimate career, which was very outside of the box and probably still is a little bit outside of the box.
And who was your first teacher?
I went to a tarot card reading that was highly recommended by like three or four people in my life. And I'd never done tarot card, but I went in neutral. Like, I'm not gonna disbelieve it, but I'm not gonna believe it. And I had a really great tarot card teacher by the name of Mary. And she just nailed who I was, just down to every little detail about who I was, how I felt, and like kind of what my deep desires were and what my shortcomings were, what was holding me back, my obstacles. And from then on, I thought, okay, spirituality is a real thing. People can tap into and channel into energies. And I need to follow people that have this gift. And so she was my teacher. It was that tarot card reading. And that started it off.
And then yoga teacher?
And then yoga teacher, there was a woman that started Yoga Works named Mati. And there was a teacher there named Jürgen who had just come from Sweden. And he really introduced me to Ashtanga yoga and the discipline of a 6 day a week up at 7 a.m., hour and a half to 2 hour practice. And I think Jürgen got me into teaching regularly. To practicing regularly and to treat it like a discipline, like whether I want to or not, get up and get on your mat at 7, practice with the Ashtangis till about 8:45 or 9 and do that 6 days a week. And I hadn't had that kind of discipline in my life before, but it really felt like I was in a group of spiritual people wanting to get better. And I loved that. That was what I always hoped school would be. That it was all like good-hearted spiritual people trying to find their best heart selves. And I always wish school was that way, and it never really was. But when I found that Ashtanga group with Jürgen back in 1997 or 8, that was it. And then Mati was the teacher trainer that I took a teacher training with in 99.
I would love for whoever's listening to this right now to put into the chat whether they do yoga or not. So yes, I practice yoga, or no, I do not yet. I would love to hear from you and kind of find out what your challenges are. Please, I'm trying to. Yes, I love it. You talked about, I have done yoga and need to get back into it on a regular basis. I want to talk about that, getting back into it, because people go in and then they come out. Can you first talk about Ashtanga and what that actually is? Because some of us might not know what Ashtanga is.
Good question. Ashtanga yoga, it's a very set series of poses, like A to Z, like an alphabet. And you start in and you do A, B, C, D, E. And then when you get better, you go A, B, C, D, E, F. And then ultimately you try to get all the way to Z. You're your own teacher in that each pose is held for 5 breaths. So once you learn all the poses, you hold each one for 5 deep breaths, inhales and exhales, and you go through the sequence and you do it every day and you do it 6 days a week. And that series of poses and the discipline of doing it daily ultimately is training you not just to have a physique that looks nice, but ultimately it's teaching you how to really be your own teacher, to be your own student at the same time, and to go through all those moments when you don't want to practice and to push through them. And then you learn to cultivate yourself as a stronger human being. So I think what Ashtanga did for me back then was give me accountability and discipline, similar to what I think, similar to a like a boarding school would hope to get someone that was kind of all over the place and then fine tune them, the Ashtanga room and that sequence every day and the same poses and using my breath as the teacher. That really got me into seeing that I could be my own teacher and that I could push through difficult things.
You did.
I read what you wrote and it's so beautiful. I just want to say that I'm touched by your words. And I think the fact that yoga is the one thing that saved you is just the beautiful thing. It's something that we hear often. So thank you for sharing that. I just want to acknowledge you for that. Matthew, your classes at Unplug, in the studio and also on the app have been so incredibly popular. And I know I met you because I couldn't even get into your class at Allo. It was so packed. Can you talk a little bit about how you went from teaching yoga to kind of creating this fun, energetic, how you've kind of married the two things and why you do that? A little bit about your style.
Good, good question. I was teaching fitness at a gym. I was teaching indoor cycling for Reebok, like spin classes. And then I was teaching a very traditional, more Ashtanga-based yoga. And I saw that all my yoga people had amazing flexibility, but their stamina cardiovascularly was kind of low. And I saw all my fitness people had no flexibility. So I just thought that I should take everything that I do individually, that everyone is looking for, and just marry them together and really create one a specific kind of workout. And then, as you know, we both know Steve Ross, and Steve was really an innovator in saying yoga doesn't have to be very disciplined and strict and quiet and introverted. And I know he was the one that opened, one of the people that opened my eyes to, yes, yoga can be a fun experience. And at his studio, he allowed us teachers to have as much fun as possible. And at that time, I love the yoga, the introversion of yoga, but it really wasn't cultivating people's joy. And I love that adding music and more fitness element not only had that Zen side that you come out with, but that fun and joy, like you, when we're dancing at a wedding on a dance floor with people we know and don't know, like that's the feeling that's beautiful and spiritual. And I love that the yoga that I do and have on our Unplug app has music and is a wonderful transformative experience.
I have to say, I think it's so much fun. I've done the 7-day yoga challenge like probably 14 times at this point. I just love it. It makes me feel so happy. And every time I do it, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just don't want to get up, but I want to do it. And then when I say, you know what, override your mood. That's my soundbite to myself. Good. Override your mood and just do it. I'm always happy I did it every single time. What is your tip? Because I'm reading here in the chat that there are a lot of people who are saying, you know, not often. I got it started many times and then I lasted a week or so. Yes, but I want to practice more. Not often. No, I'd like to. What can you tell them that will help them build the consistency that will help them start feeling the real benefits that you get?
Good, good. Another, your questions are fantastic. I think one of the biggest issues people have is when they start, they want to have a big goal. Like I want to do an hour of yoga every day. And it's hard to keep up with that. I think the biggest thing I tell my private coaching clients and my students is have a really manageable goal. Have like 20 minutes, 10 minutes even, and have it such a small amount of time that it's almost impossible for you to push it on the back burner and to not do it. So if you hit smaller goals, I think you'll feel much more satisfaction. Even if it's just doing 2 minutes of like chair yoga a day, once you get the momentum going, I think what you're building is your self-confidence, your self-esteem, your belief in yourself, all the sides of you in the past that maybe would have started and then stopped. I think you're starting to just get rid of all those roadblocks and obstacles that we all have. And you're just starting to just get rid of them and just creating that positive momentum. So it's really short amount of times, which is why I love our 20 minutes. 20 minutes doesn't take a lot out of your day. But just to go onto the Unplug app, do one of the seven. They can be done in any order, but do any one of the seven and it will change your mood. And it's just 20 minutes. And I think that's the answer to your question is keep a really small, manageable goal. Even if it's 2 minutes, don't talk yourself into feeling like, well, it's only 2 minutes. That's silly. That is just like that, the ego that's resisting talking, like don't listen to that side. Like 2 minutes, 1 minute, but just get the consistency going. And that builds so much inner like courage and strength and self-belief. That's what's gonna then, years from now, maybe get into an hour a day of yoga, but like that's so far down the road. So really manageable goals, that's the key.
One of the beautiful things that we were talking about before is chair yoga. And that we don't even have to sit up to be able to do a practice. So I would love if you could guide us through a short little chair yoga.
Perfect. So let's do like a minute, just sitting. I'm sitting here, you're sitting there. What I would do would be this. I would start rolling our necks out either direction and just take some breaths while you do it and keep your shoulders relaxed. They're gonna wanna creep up toward your ears. Just let them be loose and you can take the circles the other direction. You can take half circles, full circles. Just take a moment, letting your neck open up. A few breaths for us here. Make sure you're breathing in and out deeply. This feels nice. And then we'll bring our head back up to center. And just take your right arm up and just take a side bend for a few breaths. So let all that waist open up on that side. Breathe into that side of your body like this. Ideally, you're breathing in and out through your nose, but if you can't, the mouth breath is okay too. And back up to center, we'll take the other side, same thing. And listen to your body. It might be a really deep side bend. It might be just a shallow side bend. The important thing is you're just listening to your body and your breathing, and that's it. We'll come back up to center from there and reach both arms up and just reach up tall. You can interlace your fingers or not, but look up toward the ceiling and stretch as long and tall as you can. Take one more breath, look up a little higher, and then bring your hands back down. And then you're going to not see my face here for a minute, but we're going to take just a little forward bend. So as much as you want, fold forward and down over your legs there. So your back gets a little stretch. Take one more big breath here. And we'll bring our bodies back up from there. And we'll just finish with a twist. So twist your body to the right. If you're in a chair, you can hang on to the side of your chair if you have that. If not, just twist to the right as much as you want. You can look over that back shoulder too. Bring it back to center. Let's twist the other way, whichever way you didn't take, and maybe look over that back shoulder too. And then back to center from there. And let's bring our hands together at our heart. Close your eyes just for a moment. Any positive movement is so good for our souls. Even that 60 seconds is a positive momentum in the direction of health and wellness and feeling better inside and out. And namaste.
Namaste. That was great. Like, why are we not doing that all the time?
That's what we have to do for our next Unplug filming is like seven chair yoga, 5 minute. Exercises.
Yes, please. Okay. Yeah. If you guys would like that, please put it in the chat. If you would like to do a 7 day chair yoga, don't even get off your butt and get it done. Yes, please. Yes, please. Okay. Lots of people are all in on that. Definitely me. Okay. Next up, Matthew, we have a bunch of questions for you from our community. And again, I want to ask all of you who are actually on this call, if you would like to ask any questions of Matthew, please put it in the chat and we will ask him. And if we want to unmute at the end, that would be great too. But I'm going to just kind of whip through them. And if you could give like short, succinct answers, that would be fantastic. Any suggestions for arthritic joints, specifically wrist and knees?
My first is to always just see how movement feels, and if that doesn't feel good, then I would just see what a doctor can do. But I always try just movements. I do like warm compresses if that feels good on my joints sometimes. I know personally I drink dark cherry juice, which as I've heard is really good for like my knees and ankles because I get a little stiff in there. But we'll see how just light movement feels for you.
Does yoga help to lose belly fat?
I think the combination of yoga and something cardiovascular in your life is what I do, and I found really great results. So I move my body every day, but it's a good hybrid of yoga movements and then something to get my heart rate elevated. And for me, it's about like 135 beats per minute, and I kind of know what that feels like. If I can work out and I have problems talking and holding a sentence, then I know my heart's in the right spot. If it's easy for me to talk, I know I can get it personally a little higher. If I'm panting, that's too high. So if you can get to a place that with yoga and with something that raises your heart rate so that it's a little hard to keep a sentence going like this, then you're in the right place. And that really will give headway into what you want there.
For a beginner, what is the best style of yoga to start with? Yin, restorative, and I'm going to just ask that if you do say whichever one it is, if you could describe what that is.
Sure. It depends on what you're looking for. If relaxation is your goal, if you're feeling very edgy, then a more yin class, a more restorative class, where there are long stretches, lots of time with the breath, lots of time in the poses, that might be the right one for you. If your goal is to be more active and more physically healthy, then a power yoga class or a hatha yoga class, which has more movements and has sun salutations and moves your body and twists your body and adds a little more athleticism to it, which is what I like and what I do, although I do both, but my specialty is the movement base. It's the movement base I like.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Next up is how many times a week do you recommend participating in yoga to keep your joints and limbs properly stretched? Does it vary by age? I'm 46, laugh out loud.
I as a fitness yoga professional, I do something in the AM hours and something in the PM hours, even if it's little, because I personally like how it keeps my body always feeling like it's got an athletic side that needs to stay healthy and fit and keeps my heart and my joints and my muscles and tendons feeling very young at heart. Even if it's just 20 minutes, sometime in the AM hours and 20 in the PM hours, I know for me I try to hit those, hit something in the early day, something in the mid or later day. I think, did that answer it, or is there a little more in that?
Well, I think the question really was like, what's the minimum amount of time that someone should do to
I
keep
think
it going?
20, and which is why we did that 20 on the Unplug app. 20 tends to, for me, I found shift the body from feeling like stagnant or feeling in kind of a neutral place to shifting things positively. 20 for me is the magic number.
I get frustrated with yoga classes because even the beginner classes move fast and seem much more than beginner. Suggestions? When I find a good video, I love it, but I'm very new to it.
Yeah, a lot of people think yoga is a little too fast for them, especially as an entry point. Whether you go to a teacher or whether you go like online and do our Unplug series, see how that pace feels for you. I tried to make our Unplug right like a middle of the road. It's fast enough to get your heart rate elevated. It's not so slow that it feels like you're just waiting for things to happen. But if you take that Unplug class, any of them, and you'll get a sense if that feels too fast, then there are lots of options that are a little slower. If that feels perfect, great. If that feels like you want it faster, there are options for that. That Unplug is a really great, like, middle of the road. And then if that feels too fast, I'm happy. You can reach out to me or to Susie and will guide you in the direction of a slower class or a faster paced class.
What are the essential or basic poses a person should start with, even if they aren't feeling like exercising? If severely overweight, how can you begin without it being too painful or strenuous due to the body?
I would say that the two best things that I think yoga believes can help a whole body head to toe and are great entry poses are sun salutation,
Which is, can you
which
show
is,
people?
standing upright with an inhale, lift your arms up. Exhale, fold down. Wherever your hands end up is fine. Inhale with a flat back, just kind of look forward so you feel your back muscles engaged. And exhale, fold back down. And inhale, reach up to the ceiling or sky again. And exhale, hands at your heart. And it doesn't have to be with the breath. That's a little more advanced. So if it's just my arms are coming up for a moment, I'm folding down for a moment. I'm kind of looking forward with my hands on my thighs. I'm folding down. I'm reaching up and then hands at your heart. That series of six movements, whether you're doing it with the breath or you're not quite ready to do it with the breath yet, and you're just doing it like each holding each for 2, 3 seconds, that's going to loosen up your hamstrings, your low back, your head, your neck, your arms, your shoulders. That's considered one of the best all around. Like, let's get into it. Let's get started and get our bodies like to a healthier place. The other, if you are up for it, is downward facing dog. And it may or may not be for you because it takes a lot of arm and shoulder and wrist strength. If that's not for you, then just keep doing the sun salutations over and over for now, because that'll get you moving. And you do a number of those, your heart rate's going to elevate, you're going to feel better, it's manageable. And if you can add a down dog in down the road, then we'll just do that too.
How much emotional connection is connected to hip openers? I don't really
Yes.
understand that question. Can you explain it?
Yes. My belief is that the whole body is the physical body holds a lot of our emotional past and things we store in the muscles in our bodies. And the hips being a really big muscle group, if you are into, like I am, into letting the experience of a pose like pigeon bring up things, emotions in the course of opening the muscular body, and if you're open to letting it out, things come up. It comes up for me, comes up for a lot of people if you're using your yoga practice as also a means of emotionally opening up, because there's such a big muscle groups for us, and it's such a place where we store past traumas and heartaches and difficulties. Like, they get stored in our body, in my belief. And so the yoga pose, like pigeon, part of the intent is to loosen your physical body, which is great. But if you're taking yoga to an emotional place too, things will come up. And it's best to acknowledge them, to breathe through them. I'm always been a proponent of, if it's coming up now, then I must be strong enough at this present time in my life to look at it now. And so when something comes up for me in pigeon, if it's something from my childhood, like when my parents got divorced, occasionally memories will come up when I'm in pigeon. I'll think, okay, well, now at 55, now must be the time when I'm ready to like sit with this and see how my heart was hurt, and to go through it.
Beautiful. Can you tell people what pigeon is in case they don't know what it
Yeah,
is?
pigeon is a hip opening stretch, where you're essentially laying on your stomach, and your front leg is at like a 45 degree angle underneath you, and it's really opening up that hip muscle a lot, and the outer leg. And the low back and the glute area and all that is just being wide open. And since it's such a vault of storage for the emotional body, when you open that vault, like, things can come up emotionally.
I love that. I'm going to hop on my mat after this and do a couple more pigeons. I love doing pigeons with you. And you do them also in the 7-day program. So that's amazing. Can you describe the different types of yoga? So there's yin, there's restorative, and that sounds like it's kind of sort of the same thing. What are the other types of yoga?
Well, I got into Ashtanga first, which was that A through Z kind of sequence, starting with pose A and B and C. And that's very disciplined, very breath-based, very introverted. It's kind of like the hardcore, like boot camp kind of yoga. Hatha yoga, or power yoga, is movement based, linking poses together. Like warrior one goes into warrior two, goes into reverse warrior. That's like hatha yoga, which is my main specialty. Restorative and yin yoga is if you want to really calm your whole nervous system down and open your body up deeply, especially emotionally, where you take a pose like pigeon and you hold it for 5 minutes. Usually the room is dark, there might be candles, there's soft spa music playing, and you're just letting your body sit. It's almost like a therapy session to some people, and you just sit in the emotions of what comes up and you breathe through it. There is essentially straight ahead meditation is its own form of yoga in a sense that you're doing inner work, you're checking in with yourself. I would personally consider that a form of yoga as well. I don't really practice Bikram yoga. I know that's a series similar to Ashtanga, that's A to Z. And what else is out there?
Isn't
Iyengar. I think Iyengar yoga is the other one that people like. It's very much like taking a workshop in a yoga workshop. So they take a pose, such as triangle, and they come at triangle from like nine different other poses and just workshop that. It's like taking a class or a course in yoga. So those are the main branches.
Lynette also said something interesting here too, and this is something I would love to bring up, and that's I would if only I'd known sooner that doing 20 to 30 minutes a day of daily yoga would take away nearly all my physical pain. It's incredible. I think that is such an important thing to say, because I even yesterday I saw someone on Facebook was talking about how they got into a bike accident and they credited their yoga practice as being able to heal in a faster way. Do you know any like fun stories of people who've experienced things that you can kind of share?
Experience them in how great that yoga recoiled them from an accident or injury. I think I can speak in personal experience, like the twice that I've gotten in a car accident, I got onto my yoga mat and just gently stretched things out. And I know that I seem to recover faster than all my contemporaries that don't do yoga. I do play softball every Sunday, and I'm the only one that really doesn't get injured. Out of our whole softball team, I've run a few marathons, and in our running group, I accredit yoga to being what kept me pretty injury free compared to all the other runners. I just think that whatever you are doing, yoga is gonna make you more of a superhero at whatever you're doing.
I 100% agree with that. And one of the most beautiful things that people don't really talk about is the fact that yoga is a beautiful practice that you can take with you throughout your entire life. I mean, there have been teachers who are over the age of 100 who are still teaching yoga. You don't hear about that with any other practice. And I feel like even when I started with you, Matthew, and I first was bending and I could touch my kneecaps. And then by the end, I was able to touch the ground. And the next thing you know, I'm like doing every single position with gusto. It was pretty easy for someone who didn't move a lot to go from, not having a lot of flexibility to, after our third month together, having a lot of flexibility. And I really wish people would do this more to kind of change their bodies and change their life.
You came a long way in a short time because of your persistence, and you really wanted to get it, which I loved seeing in you, that fire in you. And I know, Art, the sequence that we did in person and that's on the app, there's something to like repeating poses so that you can physically see the difference week to week, or even at the beginning of class versus the end of our 20 minutes. What I do like that you got to see, because we use a similar sequence, similar poses. Once you see the difference, then that's where you get hooked, and that's where the real momentum kicks in that makes you want to do it instead of, I have to do this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people have asked questions about just struggling with showing up. Is there anything else you can add to that one thing? Like, How do you inspire people to show up when they, I know you have like all of the top celebrities and clients here in Los Angeles who are having you privately come to their homes, and I know some of them actually. But I would love to hear, like, besides having that ability to have a private instructor come to your home, how do you get people to just click on the app and, start doing that 20 minutes of yoga or, show up at a class or whatever it is that could help them?
What I do for myself is I have a certain amount of time I want to do yoga in the course of a week. It's 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours, usually five. And I make myself on Sunday night say, okay, starting Monday, you have from Monday to Sunday to do 5 hours of yoga. And I also have like cardio and strength training. There's other things too, but for yoga, it's 5 hours. And for me, it works well if I say I just have to do 5 hours this week, because there's going to be days in that week that I don't feel motivated. And if I say I'm going to do an hour every day, let's say, there's on those days that I don't feel motivated, it's going to be hard and I won't feel inspired. But if I, at the end of every week and at the start of every new week, I give myself, here's what I want to end the week doing. And some days when I feel motivated, I might do an hour and a half of yoga. And then days I don't feel motivated, I might do 0 or 20 minutes. But by the end of the week, I'm holding myself accountable to, it's like being in school. Like by Sunday, you have to have a 500 word essay written. Like I've got to do 5 hours of yoga from Sunday to Sunday. And I can squeeze it in whenever I feel motivated. But I like that I give myself kind of like a deadline and a little like homework assignment. And for me, knowing that I can do it whenever I feel motivated lets me off the hook of forcing myself to do it when I'm not motivated. But I still have the overall goal of doing my set time. So what I would recommend for people is if you're getting into yoga or anything or meditation, say, I'm going to like meditate for 1 hour this week. I can do it in 5 minutes, some 5 minute blocks, some 30 minute blocks, some 20 minute blocks. But give yourself a week, give yourself a goal, and then keep tabs and then try to hit your goal.
I have an even lazier technique that I want to share with everybody, and that is that I literally wake up in the morning and I click the Unplug app and I lay back down in my bed and I do the 10-minute meditation of the morning and then I go like this. Ready? I roll out of my bed and I have a mat that is just laid out next to my bed. And then I do AirPlay. I don't know if you know this, but you can actually AirPlay your meditations on. Do you guys have you do you know how to do that? If you can let me know in the chat, yes or no? No? I'm going to show you this because I didn't even know. How many of you have Apple TV? Do you have Apple TV?
Yes.
Okay. If you have Apple TV, this is something that everybody can do so that the yoga actually plays on the TV. So I have Matthew on my television. So I go meditate, roll out of bed. My mat is laid out, even though I'd never roll it back up. And then I just get up and I do it. And I'm either doing you or I'm doing Kara. And I kind of switch it off every other day. Kara is
Love it.
also a
Love it.
workout person on the app. Okay, so let me show you guys how to do this. I'm going to share my screen. Hold on.
I think I'm so glad you mentioned that other times you just do it. You just go ahead and do it instead of not even giving yourself time to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, I don't give myself that option. And I never am in the mood and I make myself do it anyway. Okay. So if you see this corner, I'm going to take my finger and I'm going to swipe it down like this. Okay. And then this pops up. This thing right here, that is the button that I press. When I press that, it says screen mirroring. And now there's no TV in my office, but it'll say living room, dining room, whatever. And I just click whichever one, my bedroom, master bedroom. I click that and then it pops up on my TV. You have to be in your Apple TV setting. And then I exit out and I go right into my Unplug app. And what I like to do is you can find it in the Discover tab, or the topics. In the topics section here, you'll see yoga and fitness. So if I go there, I'll see Matthew, and I just click that and I do it like that. When I did it as the challenge, when it was up, every single box will check. So if you go into your course section, you can see the 7-day challenge here and follow it in courses, and then it'll check the box so you can see that you did all 7 days. So that is my tip.
Love it.
Beautiful. Matthew, is there,
to our chair yoga series now that we talked about that and did it together. Now, like, I'm off and running and how it's going to look. We will make that happen.
I am so excited to share that with everybody. I want to talk about teacher training because, after taking your class, and a lot of people here are just meeting you for the first time by watching this, either here live or they'll be watching it afterwards because we'll be sharing it with our entire audience afterwards. But they might want to understand a little bit about teacher training. We hear a lot about yoga teacher training. I do not want to be a yoga teacher, but I want to be my own yoga teacher. I want to be able to get that feeling that I get when I'm with you without you. So can you talk to me about teacher training and why someone should want to do it? And, even a little bit about your teacher training that's coming up that we're going to be sharing
on unplug.com.
So I'm excited for that. And it's going to be at Unplug Live. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah. So our teacher training will be 4 weekends in October, the 7th, 8th, 14th, 15th, 21st, 22nd. 28th, 29th. Saturday will be a full day together at Unplug, and Sunday is like a half day. And then there'll be homework assignments and video lessons all throughout. When I took teacher training years ago, and most teacher trainings these days are very much like taking a course in yoga, like a college course in yoga, which is wonderful. What I discovered when I finished my teacher training, and what I see a lot is people come out knowing a lot, but the leadership side, how to step into a room and lead a class, that was really completely missing. Even in the 500-hour teacher trainings, they don't get into that. And my personal spiritual yoga journey, it was really important for me to not be the shy guy that would always sit in the back of a classroom and never raise his hand. Like, that's where I started. Where I am now is I feel still nervous, but comfortable walking into a room of 60, 70 people and leading a journey, a yoga journey for people, and being extroverted and being more dynamic, and I can pull that out when it's needed. That journey isn't really present in any yoga teacher training. So I spent a lot of time figuring out how do I create a training that, yes, has all the elements of a yoga pose, how to do down dog, what to look for, what all the elements that each pose in a yoga class has, but equally as important is how do I develop someone to go from kind of sitting on the sidelines to being your own teacher, and ultimately, if you want it, being a teacher and leader for other people. So I think we're here on this planet to evolve and to grow positively upward. And to do that, the person you're with the most is yourself. And if you can be your own teacher and lead yourself to higher and higher frequencies and energies and ways of living, then you're gonna really enjoy your life. You're gonna really enjoy your life. So I wanted this teacher training to be a kind of a hybrid of here's how to be a really good teacher, but here's also how to cultivate your leader. And whether you end up using it to teach classes like I do, or it's just for yourself or your groups of friends and family circle, it might be any of those, but what they have in common is you being more of a leader and pulling that out from within you and being uncomfortable stepping in front of people and still being okay with it in our training and learning how to cultivate that king and queen side, which I think we're all moving towards being our own leader inside and out. Oh, I can't hear you.
One of my favorite things that you do is the words that you use that lift us all up. Can you share some of those sound bites that you say sometimes in class that people might not hear? Well, I would love to end this on a positive note where everybody can kind of feel uplifted and inspired.
Thank you. I always try to speak from my heart as best I can. My favorite community is this spiritual community because we all have open hearts and are working to get our hearts more and more open and to cultivate our kindness and our joy and being good to ourselves and being good to other people and being our best selves. And my favorite kind of person is you, because we are all doing that together. In my classes, I just constantly like to remind you that you're doing great, you're here and doing your best, and your best is fantastic. And the fact that you're even in this conversation means that you're on the right soulful, spiritual path, and that everything will come over time and with patience, all the good things and all the goodness. But you have to be on the right path to for that goodness and kindness and all that positive energy. And all of us that are in this talk, we are in that place. So I just always encourage myself and encourage you to just remind yourself that you're really great person on a wonderful path, and it might be easy some days and more challenging other days, but the fact that you're on this path, really makes you like a hero in my book. And I know that you're going to take that and do as best you can on this day, and then the best as you can the next day. And those kind of people in the world truly make the world a better place.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. I want to just answer one last question that came in. Someone said they had no idea how they got this email. They just showed up. They don't even know what Unplug is. And that makes me giggle because I think, especially for the person who asked this question, that it was really probably you were the most involved person in the chat today, which is amazing. Unplug is the world's first drop-in meditation studio. We then transitioned into a global app, so you can unplug anywhere, anytime, from any place in the world. We also have a teacher training and a Unplug for Business program where we go into companies like Google, YouTube, all of the different great companies and help employees unplug. So our goal is to meet people where they are, no matter what their budget is, and to help people find peace, calm, and know that if they can breathe, they can meditate and they can do yoga. And that it doesn't matter what you look like outside, that the most important thing is who you are inside. And we want to bring the inside out because we believe everybody's beautiful and everybody has a ripple, and that the more people who do this, the better the world will be. So that is who we are. So, yeah.
Such beautiful, such well said, perfect. I love what you do in the world. And I love that I get to be a part of the world you're creating.
Well, I love what you do in the world. And Matthew, I'm so excited for your teacher training. For those of you who are interested in taking it to the next level, you can check it out at unplug.com and you'll see it up on our events calendar. And also, you can reach out and follow Matthew Reyes Yoga on Instagram. He's very active on Instagram. And definitely start by downloading the Unplug app and check out his 7-day yoga challenge. It is so
Do
much
that.
fun. It'll put you in a good mood. And yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jelena, I want to say thank you to you too. You organize these, and we're going to stop the recording, but we would love to actually meet the people who are still on here and see your faces if you're willing to share while we stop the recording so you won't be part of the app.